All right, let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 14. We're just going to talk in probably about half an hour. The King's Servant's Confidence, okay? Romans chapter 14. And hopefully it will be an encouraging, really, really sweet reminder of our position in Christ. Okay, then after that we'll have a short business meeting and then we'll have prayer as well. Okay, let's stand, all right? Let's stand as we just read verse number 8. Verse number 7 and verse number 8. Okay. Romans chapter 14, verse 7 and verse number 8. Ready? Let's read the two verses together. Ready? 1, 2, go. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Amen. Let's have a little prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time that, Lord, as your people gather at your feet to hear your precious word. Firstly, we pray that you bless Brother Tay Leong richly, Lord, with health. Father, with many more years of honoring you and glorifying you in your work and in his family and the things that you've asked him to do. I pray that, Lord, it will be a meaningful time, Lord, this coming year for him. Lord, now as we fellowship around your word, we pray for the presence and teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit to speak to us in a special way. And Lord, we will understand that whether we live or die, we are still yours. And Father, may every soul be encouraged with this truth tonight. We thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll be focusing primarily on just verse number 8. But I want to just give you a context of Romans 14. The Apostle Paul just very, very, very generally expounds in this chapter what is called the Christian's responsibility. The Christian brother's responsibility to one another. All right? The responsibility to one another. We do have, as Christians, a personal responsibility to each other. Did you know that? All of us are personally responsible for one another. Okay, to help, to edify, and to build up one another, and sometimes to refrain from from certain activities or things that may offend or not edify the other brethren. This is what Romans 14 talks about. If you look at verse 1, him that is weak in the faith, welcome, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. In other words, those who are weaker in the faith, not very strong, welcome that brother. But don't start telling him things that will stumble his faith. Don't start telling him that will make him doubt. Okay, so we have responsibility. But in verse 8, which is our focus, this verse is vital in helping us understand our responsibility with one another. Okay, if you look at verse 7, Paul made it clear, no one lived to himself. How we live in this life, we have a responsibility to one another. But more than anything, in verse number 8, Paul actually states a truth, a positional truth for all Christians, okay? Paul presents the expectation that as a Christian, how you live and how you die does not change your position in Christ, okay? If you read verse 8, whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Paul actually made it clear that as a Christian, our direction in life is only unilateral towards God. Our life ought to be an honor to God. Okay, Paul presents the expectation as a Christian, how you live and die, it doesn't change your position. Okay, as a result, it gives us confidence as we serve God. It gives us confidence as we serve God and love Him. Okay, just a quick definition of confidence. I think you have it in your notes there. Confidence, what is confidence? It is trust, it is relying, it is an assurance of or firm belief in the integrity, the stability, or the truth of another, or the reality of a fact. Okay, it is actually a firm belief, a relying on. We relying our trust on God, which is true. That gives us confidence, okay? Confidence as we serve the Lord. There's a few verses that we may want to look at. But I just want to very quickly mention this. When Christians understand our assured position in Christ, we are confident in all situations. Okay? How many of you realize that your position in Christ will never change? You need to understand that. Okay, young people, I hope you understand. Your position, if you are a Christian, when you have trusted Jesus Christ, your position in Jesus Christ does not change. You are forever His. Nothing we do will ever affect that. Okay? Nothing we do will ever affect that. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Just one verse to anchor this truth. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. Just one truth. One verse to anchor this truth. When you truly trusted Christ, you've repented of your sin, you are once and for all Christ. Okay, let's read 10 and verse 10 together. Ready? One, two, go. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Okay? By the which will, by the will of the Father, we are set aside through the redemption, the offering of the Lord, body of the Lord Jesus. What? Once for all. Once we have trusted Christ, we are set apart once for all. When every child, when Hui Chi is born to the Poon family, she is set once and for all. Alright? Nothing will change the fact that she is the member of the Poon family. Okay? Alright? So that very, very, she can run, she can go to the North Pole, play with the polar bears, want to come back for a few years. She still is the member of the Poon family. That doesn't change, okay? Now, in this short devotion, we want to ask ourselves, do we rely, do we trust, and are we assured in our mind? Do we firmly believe the fact that we are the Lord's? Knowing your position and practicing that position is two different things. You agree? Knowing that you're a Christian and actually practicing as a Christian is two different things. Okay? But I want to work on the premise that because of our confidence, what are some of the natural things that God gives to us in this Christian life? Okay? Let's look at the first point. Because we are the Lord's, because we are the Lord's. Sorry, let's turn to Psalm 56 and verse 9. Psalm 56 verse 9. I want to talk about the confidence. When I read this verse, it was such an encouragement I need to share with you. Psalm 56 and verse 9. And this is the thing, when you serve God, when you go through life, when different things happen in your life, and sometimes you get panicky, anxious, what do we do? Okay? At Psalm 56 and verse 9, let's read this together, alright? You need to at least memorize a simple psalm. Let's read Psalm 56 verse 9. Ready? One, two, go. When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know. For God is for me. Okay, when I cry unto thee, when I have difficulties, when my enemies of trouble, enemies of trials, when my real enemies are chasing me, when I cry to God, enemies will run away. And then the last part is what I like. I hope you are encouraged by this. I know, for God is for me. The verse didn't say God is with me. We always say God is with me. That's encouragement already. But no, God is for me. He's for me. He's on my side, facing the enemy together with me. In every trial or situations you face, in every attempt to serve God, God is for you. And the Bible says, Romans says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? And Christians, take this home as an encouragement. If there's nothing else, remember this verse. As a Christian, God is 100% on your side. Amen? Just as your father, our mother, it will always be on your side. God, our Heavenly Father, will ever stand on our side. In every trial and tribulation that we face. Of course, if we stumble or we did a boo-boo, or God will still deal with us. But you know what? Even when He deals with us, He's still on our side. Okay? So how do we live this confidence as a Christian? How do we actually live this confidence as a Christian? Three things, three points, three truths. From this particular verse in Romans 14:8. Number one, we need to remember it's always a privilege to serve God in this life. It's a privilege to serve God in this life. These are devotional thoughts, all right? So, devotional thoughts. So, because of our confidence in God, and that in our life, the Bible says, for whether we live unto the Lord. Romans 14:8 says, right? Whether we live unto the Lord. Paul is actually stating a truth, you know. He's not stating an option. He's not stating a suggestion. Because we are Christian, whether we live to the Lord. That's what he said. That's a settled truth. As a Christian, the expectation is that we live for the Lord. Okay? So we need to recognize that it's actually a privilege to serve God in this life. Because we are confident that we belong to God, the outcome is that we live to do His will and to promote His glory. I'm glad she's excited about that. Okay, this is the grand purpose of the life of a Christian. I say it again. This is so encouraging. Because we are confident that we belong to the Lord, the grand purpose of the life of the Christian is to live to do His will and to promote His glory. Okay, other men live to gratify themselves. The Christians do those things that gratify the Lord, that please the Lord. Christians, we live to honor God. Okay, so two quick points. Sorry, to the unbeliever, life is frustrating because they have no purpose, really. You know who the unbeliever is living for? Non-believer is living for himself. And the purpose doesn't last. Okay? Or the purpose hits some disappointing ends, or he get disillusioned by something. But you know what? The purpose of Christ doesn't get affected because why? God is driving that in our lives. So it is a privilege for us as Christians to live for God. Two points under this. Number one, we have the privilege in life of living for the Lord. Of living for the Lord. Have you ever wondered what does it mean to live, when someone says, I'm living for God, what does it mean to live for God? Live for God. What does it mean to live for God? I know we're always talking about we need to live for God, right? What does it really mean to live for God? Anyone from this side? Sorry? Yes, be holy. That's one of the outcomes. Sorry, be separated. Yes, be separated. So that's one of the ways, but what does it mean to live for God? What does it mean to live for God? Yeah, when you live for God, one of the outcomes is you are separated. You live a separated life. You keep yourself holy, right? So that's one of the ways that you live for God. But what does it mean to live for God? Do you understand the question? What does it mean to live for God? Okay, doing His purpose in our life. Yeah, okay. It involves that. Okay, very quickly, living for God. When a person lives for someone else, it means that the purpose in this person's life no longer belongs to himself, it belongs to the other person. Fathers, we live for our children, for example. You live for our children. What does it mean? The children's priorities and concerns is important to you. Does it make sense? When you live for someone, your life is living for the other person. It means what the other person thinks is important, you will do. Because you are living for that person. You're not living for yourself. If you live for yourself, then your ambitions, your will is important. But when you live for someone else, then the other person's will, the other person's ambitions, the other person's direction is more important. Right? Many of the fathers here work very hard. Mothers work very hard. Why? Because they're living for their families, to provide for the family so their family will have enough. Family will be going in the right direction. They make sure the bills are paid so that the family is comfortable. Right? So when we live for someone, it simply means that the other person's priorities are actually the priority of the person. Okay? Example, a soldier fights for the country. It means that the purpose of the country becomes his purpose. Does that make sense? When a soldier goes and fights the war, he's fighting for the country. Why? The country is being attacked. He needs to be defended. As a soldier, I go and fight. I'm fighting for my country. The country's intention is more important than my life. I'm living for my country. When Moses lived for God, what he wanted no longer matters. What he thinks no longer matters. It is what his loving God wants. And his loving God says, Moses, you go and set my people free. Moses says, send Aaron. At first, but later on, he went there and he set the nation of Israel. And his entire life was a living for God. Okay? Lest you think, some people will say, well, Brother Johnny, then if I live for God, a lot of Christians think like that. I must surrender everything, right? Is that true? When you live for God, must you surrender everything?
Yeah, Brother Robert said,
must we surrender everything when we live for God? Yes, Brother. That's the meaning of a servant, yes? Okay. Okay, again, you read it. Read the definition again. Sorry, really. So a servant, okay, is the a person who is devoted to the another person to the disregard of his own interest. You realize when we understand the essence of Christian servanthood, it's a privilege to serve God. But many people think, really, must surrender, must give up. Ayo, cannot, I stand to lose a lot, no. There was one particular chaplain in the, I think it was in the Iraqi war, I can't remember. He saw one of the soldiers had one of his hands taken off because of some battle loss. So this chaplain came into the hospital room and tried to encourage this soldier. Say, "Wow, you must feel great, right? Losing your arm for your country." You know what the soldier said? "I didn't lose my arm. I gave my arm. I didn't lose my arm. I gave my arm for my country." Christians, I want us to think the other way, because God wants us to have the mind of Christ. And the Lord Jesus says, my satisfaction in life is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish it. So doing the will of God was a joy to the Lord Jesus. And we need to understand this, because sometimes Christians say, "Ayo, serve God. Wow. Siong, man. I need to give up this." No, when you realize your position in Christ, it's a privilege to serve Christ. It's a privilege to serve Christ. And we must think like that. Because you know why? Those people under us, we're preaching on Sunday, are looking at how we serve. If we serve, say, "Oh, I just cannot. Those people under us are so tough, I don't want." But you know why? If those people say, "Hey, we're serving God because He's a good God, and it's a privilege to serve this King," things will change. Okay? So remember, you're not living for any Tom, Dick, and Harry, okay? Or Enzo or Mary. You are living for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's a privilege, okay? There's a privilege of living for the Lord. Then, we also have the privilege of, in life, of serving God. Not just live for Him. Living for Him is a general attitude. It's that my life belongs to God. But number two is that serving the Lord. When we worship and live for God, you will find that it always has worship involved. Remember when Satan tempted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4? Okay, and he says, "All these things will I give you if you will bow down and worship me." What did Jesus say? What was Jesus' response? "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." Okay, the Jewish thinking of service is this: not only must we have a worshipful heart, there must always be something that is given. There must always be something that is given. Okay? That's why Jewish worshippers, when they come to the temple, never come empty-handed. They always bring an offering. Whether it's a sin offering, a peace offering, a wave offering, different offerings that are presented in the Levitical law. Why? Because every offering, if it's for sin, it opens up the way between the man and God. But if that is cleared, they always bring a gift or an offering to show their thanksgiving to God. An offering is always an indication of a thanksgiving to God. Okay? So when we have the privilege of serving the Lord, that means that from my life, there are actual activities or things that represent my devotion to Him. There are certain people, I think I shared before, of this man that just stood at the street corner for 40 years, just passing out tracts. That was his service to God. And he made it a point to the time that he was so sick he cannot go anymore. But that was his service to God. Christians, there are many things that God has given us to represent that. All right, there are many verses there. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, for example, the Bible says we are His ambassadors. Representing, I like this, representing Christ on the foreign soil of this world. We are ambassadors of Christ from heaven, representing Him on planet Earth. And so when people look at us, they must be able to see. They must be able to know the intention of Christ. Okay, Christ. And then we are also witnesses for Him. In Matthew 8, 28, verse 18 to 20, we are to tell others and make Christ known. Okay? So the Bible says, whether we live, we live unto the Lord. There's a truth. There's a settled truth for all of us. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, who knows that verse by heart? 1 Corinthians 10:31. We all should know that verse by heart. Who knows that verse? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Okay, number one, because of our position, we must recognize it's a privilege to serve God in this life. But number two, the second part, Paul says in verse 8, whether we die unto the Lord. First we live, your entire life, the motivation of the Christian ought to be glorifying Christ. But then Paul goes over to the other side and says, whether we die unto the Lord. There is a future appointment we will need to keep. Okay, this appointment is decided by God, of course. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. But death for a Christian doesn't change the fact that we still belong to Christ. And that was what Paul was mentioning very clearly for us. Okay, let's turn to Psalm 116 and verse 15. Psalm 116 and verse 15. Psalm 116. Death is a blessed experience for the Christian. Psalm 116 and verse 15. Okay, let's read together. Ready? Ready? One, two, go. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Okay? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And it's interesting because when we die, I think I like what Pastor John Yates mentioned in FBI. So when we die, it's just closing eyes and open. When we close our eyes and open, sometimes you see people just die. Once they close, once they open, it's in a new place. It's just like a wink of an eye. Because your soul, your bodily functions close down, your soul is taken up straight into the presence of God. And when you open your eyes, you're in the presence of God. Okay? And some people are afraid of death. But it's interesting that God says, when you're about to leave this world, your death is precious to Me. You know why? There are many, many reasons why. One of the main reasons, you're coming back. You're coming back home. And can you imagine that? I think one of the things is, just as a simple illustration, I think some parents, you know, I was sharing with one of the brethren on Tuesday. I visited him. He says, "Wow, my work very stressed, very very stressed, very very tired and all that kind of thing. But when I see my daughter, all the stress gone." Agree? When you see your daughter, and the daughter comes and hug you. Okay, I don't know whether Brother June, does your daughter still hug you nowadays? No. Just kidding. Okay, but when you after work you come back and your little one come and grab your leg and everything is just kind of. You don't need to do that. Father is very tired, not listening. Okay. And you know, it's the reunion that's an encouragement. And you know what? God actually says that when a saint of His passes away, he's precious because he's coming home. You know, Christians are the only one who can sing praise God during a funeral. You know, in the Chinese culture, I think they have this, they have mahjong and they have loud music, and sometimes they play, I'm just going to use it, and sometimes they play Michael Jackson at the funeral, using their yeah. You know, and it's like, you know, trying to make a lot of noise, you know. And you know, and one of the reasons why is to try to cheer the family during this time. I know Christians, sometimes when we face the prospect of death, death to the Christian is actually a blessed experience. Why? Because God says it's precious to God. God takes note of every sin coming home. Okay, I don't know whether He opens the gates of heaven or not, but I know it's a precious, precious thing. And you know, Christians, we need to understand, in this situation, heaven. How many of you, how many of you recently meditated on hell, think about heaven? Oh, we are so caught up with the things of this world, we got no time. You know, one of the sweetest things you can think of is to thank God that you're on the way to heaven. Amen. One of these days, all your tiredness will just be gone. All your trials and everything will be gone when you're in heaven. Okay? We have a future appointment. That's an encouragement. And finally, the third point. What's the third point? Romans chapter 14, verse 8 again. The Bible says, whether we live, therefore, or we die, we are the Lord's. The unchanging confidence, regardless of our state. That simply means, it does not mean that we will not suffer in this life. It does not mean we will not go through the hard things. It does not mean that there will be no pain. It does not mean that we will not have to go through sometimes years and months of agony or anguish. It doesn't mean that. But you know what? Regardless of the situation, Paul says, whether we live or die, regardless of either situation, we are the Lord's. We belong to Him. We belong to Him. We are the Lord. 2 points here, very quickly. We are the Lord's here and now. Okay? We are the Lord here and now. The point is the unchanging confidence, irregardless of our state. Okay? So the two quick points there, we are the Lord's here and now. Christians, when you trust Christ, you belong to God now. Right now. Right now. Okay? You belong to God. Everything that you ever need, spiritually, mentally, anything that you need, God says, is at your disposal. Through prayer, through God's people sometimes, and God provides. Okay? But God will provide because we belong to Him. All right? There are some points here. But while we live on earth and serve Him, we are His. We are His by His election. We are His by His redemption. And we are His because we've trusted Him ourselves. Okay? And also, we are the Lord's forever. We are the Lord's forever. Let's turn to John chapter 10 as we finish. John chapter 10, verse 27 to 29. John chapter 10. John 10, verse 27. Let me just read those three verses. I'll just read from verse 25 for context. Then you'll find there's such a wonderful thing when we trust Christ. Verse 25 says, Jesus answered the Jews, I told you and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I say unto you. Because in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Notice there's a relationship. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. There's a relationship. Okay? This relationship must be established by faith in Christ. Repentance from sin must be established. All right? Otherwise, you are not God's sheep. If you have no relationship with Christ, you don't belong to Him. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. In other words, the relationship leads to active service of following Christ. The sheep knows the voice of the shepherd. If I say, come on, it may be different. Don't come on, you know. The sheep can actually distinguish the two voices. Say, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to listen to that. Okay, he's going to listen to that particular voice. Now, Christians, do you realize that you have an intimate relationship with Christ, and when He speaks, sometimes you hear what other people don't hear? That's why even in a worship service, why some people choose to go to full-time and they believe God has spoken to them. God has spoken to them in a special way, and you can see it through their lives and evidence of their lives. Whereas another person is just living for the world, and then the ears become dull. But the Bible says, in both ways, my sheep will hear my voice. Okay, Christians, when's the last time you heard God's voice? Not saying that. When you read the Bible, and God spoke to, for example, recently I've been reading the book of Ezekiel, a wonderful book and so much practical application. Probably for the first time, I've read Ezekiel before, but you know, this time as I read through it, and one of the things I've learned, I'll bring out on Sunday, but it's such a wonderful thing because you begin to understand God. When God speaks in a certain way, He ministers to you personally. How many of you right now don't have any trials? Put up your hand. Or something that is disturbing your mind, whether it's work, whether it's family. We all have, right? But you know, you can still have the joy of Christ as you are going through that. You know, the only way to have that kind of joy is when God feeds your soul. How many of you are hungry now? Hungry. Or fat, so you're not hungry. Okay. But when you're hungry, you're growling, right? You know, many Christians' souls are not full. So when the trials come, they get irritated because a hungry man is an angry man, right? Okay? Sometimes in the trials of life, isn't that true? Because we have not fed our soul, we face trials with a, get out, I don't want to talk to anyone. But when you feed your soul with Christ, and Christ is the satisfaction of your soul, you don't let the storms come, you are at peace. You're as cool as a cucumber. Okay? Even in the storms, we can trust Christ. I think that you know, we need to get to the point whereby Christ becomes such an encouraging anchor. That even in your A-level, Sister Leandra, you say, no worries, you know, Christ is with me, I've done my best, and I'm going in. Say, Lord, I must memorize Proverbs 16:3. You know what is Proverbs 16:3? Commit your works unto the Lord, and then your thoughts will be established. You know, going where you can't, I cannot remember this. Say, Lord, I have my exam, my econs exam. Lord, I'm going to trust you. You've studied before, just let the Lord take over. Okay? And that's simple trust. You just do your best. Just do your best. Okay? And then in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, they follow me, verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life. Right? In verse 28, Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which give them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Okay? Just imagine, if you... Can you imagine that we're all in God's hands? It's actually what you call an anthropomorphic. What's the word? Anyway, the study of man, okay? God actually uses something that we can actually understand, okay? God doesn't have physical hands. Okay? It's the Bible actually, God actually uses man terms to help us understand. God's hand is so powerful. We are in God's hand, and when He closes the hand, He doesn't crush us. Interesting. He holds us, and no one can actually take them out. No one, who is so powerful that can open God's hands? That is what Jesus means. We are so secure in Christ that no one in this universe can pull us out of God's hand. You know, one thing, what a wonderful example. One friend is very crazy. His name is Eddie T or something like that. Okay? Literally, okay? And he was just giving an illustration. When God creates something, He created magnificently. No, man-made things will actually destroy us. For example, if you stand at the top of a mountain and you get hit by a missile coming at 20,000 kilometers per hour, what happened to you? We can't find you anymore, right? God created light that travels 300,000 kilometers per second. When it hits you, what happened? You feel warmth. I remember that when I was only 16 years old. You know, when God gives us those to represent His strength and His power, everything that God does is for our good. Every Christian here, if you've trusted Christ, you are in God's hand. God holds you so tightly. They say, who can tear you out? No one. That's why we believe in the eternal security of the believer. That's what the Bible teaches. You will never lose the salvation when you have genuinely trusted Christ and forsaken your sin and say, Lord, I'm following you. You are so secure in the palm of God's hand. God actually says in the book of Isaiah, you are engraved on my hand. I have you engraved on my hand. That you are part of God. You are part of God. Christian, every one of us who have trusted Christ belong to Him. We need to realize when we serve God, it's a privilege to serve Christ. There's no higher privilege serving the King of Kings. When you serve our bosses, they give us a salary. They may not like us, but they still give us a salary because we work. But you know what? When we serve Jesus, He gives us a salary based on His love, His encouragement, and He promises that in everything you do for Him, He is right there with you because God is for us. All right? Any questions? So the confidence that we have as Christian workers is nothing we do will ever affect our position in Christ. But we need to recognize it's a privilege to serve Him. One day we will see Him in heaven. And we need to have the confidence that regardless of our situation, we belong to God. All right? Any questions as we close? Any questions? Let's just have a word of prayer, all right? Then after that, we go into the business meeting. Let's pray. Father, what a wonderful thought that we belong to you. We belong to the King. That no one shall be able to pluck us out of your hands, Lord. Absolutely no one. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, I am persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, when you look at us, you see us in the palm of your hands. And your hands are so powerful, Lord, that no devil in hell, no human being on earth, no angel in heaven will be able to remove us from this blessed position we have. Lord, thank you that we are secure in Christ because of our repentance from sin and because of our faith in Him. But God, help us to realize then the living of our Christian lives for you. God, you have appointed us to good works. You have appointed us to live for you, that the people of this world will see the glory of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for every brethren here that they will understand this blessed position. And then, Lord, determine in their life, because of this confidence they have, to do something for you. Just as a Jewish worshiper who comes to the temple with a gift, help us, Lord, to always come on a daily basis in our Bible reading with a gift of our attention, a gift of our focus, a gift of our love for you. And every time we come to the Lord's house, a gift of our service perhaps, a gift of support, a gift of encouragement to someone else. That everything we do, Lord, will be for you and you alone. I pray for every teenager that they will have this motivation in their heart too. That they will come to Christ, come to church, come to the Lord's house, come to anything pertaining to God with a heart of love because of what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing. We pray for your wisdom as we talk about some business. Lord, we ask you to give us wisdom to decide. We'll thank you for what you're going to do now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.